Now, as the Lord enables us, let us turn together to the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 25 and focusing on the experience of this woman. There was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. One or two thoughts on what we have here about this woman who had had the discharge of blood for 12 years. There are at least 19 miracles of the Lord recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And in chapter 4, from verse 35, we have the account of Jesus' stilling of the storm. And then in chapter 5, the section that we haven't read, but still from the beginning, there's an account of a man out of whom the Lord cast demons. And we see also this woman who had this seemingly incurable disease, healed by the Lord, and also the young girl of 12 years of age who had passed away, but the Lord took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise." And she rose and walked, full of health and strength. And we see today that this particular woman, who had had a discharge for a long time, she's brought before us in a very vivid encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like first of all to say a few words about her problem. She had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And secondly, we see that she was a woman who had great faith, because in verse 28 she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And thirdly, the confession that she made from verse 33 onwards, Jesus having highlighted her, she knew what had happened. And she came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Firstly, this woman's problem. And I want to use this whole incident as an illustration of what happens in the experience of an individual upon whom the Lord, in whose heart the Lord is dealing, showing him or her their lost condition and their sin and their uncleanness in the presence of God. This woman had a discharge for 12 years. Whatever medical problem that was, she had gone to every doctor she could think of. And over the years, they obviously tried this and that and the other thing. And I came across a number of solutions that the doctors of the day used to commend and recommend. And nowadays, looking at some of these suggestions, they were just leading people astray because the doctor didn't know how to deal with the situation. This woman had a real problem, a medical issue. But besides it being a medical issue for her, it was also a social issue. The book of Leviticus says about any woman who had a discharge, she was unclean during the time of her discharge. And this woman, for 12 years, she was carrying this, as it were, problem about her, her physical problem and the social impact that she would be having because of a problem. I mean, any bed upon which she would lie, that bed would be unclean. Any chair upon which she would sit would be unclean in the eyes of the law. Anything or anyone she would touch would immediately be rendered unclean in the eyes of the law. I'm not sure if she was employable or not. I mean, to do something apart from speaking at a distance, she would contaminate anything she would handle and anybody with whom she would become in contact and touch them. So she had a real problem. And this is what the Lord makes known to us when he comes to convince us, convict us of our sin, of our misery, of our lostness, of our being away from God. And when people are being dealt with by the Holy Spirit, convincing them of their sin and misery, maybe they try some solutions to try and rid themselves of this feeling of uncleanness or unpreparedness to meet their God. I mean, there are a number of doctors people try. Some doctors say, well, it's something that will pass. It's something that you just need to forget about it and it'll pass away, it'll pass over. Sweep it under the carpet. These sins of your past life, don't let them bother you. But the thing is, you see, maybe that'll ease the conscience for a few moments. But the conscience that's been awakened by the Holy Spirit, it'll not let you rest in that particular surgery where the doctor says, sweep it under the carpet. The conscience is awakened and it'll prompt you to go somewhere else. Usually, the place that people go to is the surgery of the doctor of self-improvement, self-righteousness. Try to live a better life. Start reading the Bible. Start going to church. Start praying. Stop drinking. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. And fulfilling all of these tasks, this feeling of being so impure and unclean will pass over and you'll break into a new phase of living. This woman tried every doctor she could find. And you also will try every doctor that you can find. And when the Holy Spirit begins to convince you of your sin and of your misery, you cannot stop in any of these surgeries. You have to come to the great physician himself. And this woman heard about Jesus. It says that, verse 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus. Just like you have heard the gospel repeatedly down through the years. And you have heard Christians giving their testimony. And that this happened to them and the Lord gave them peace. She heard about Jesus. Maybe she heard of his power to still the storm with a word. Maybe she heard about other things that the Lord Jesus had done, like curing a leper. We don't know exactly what she heard, but she had heard of him. And she came to be where he was. She made sure that she was where he was. And he was here And the ruler of the synagogue had just spoken to him to say, "Come, because my daughter is sick and at the point of death. You come and heal her, and she will be well." And this is if the Lord is focused on going there. But this woman was a woman of faith, because it says in verse 28, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." This was the activity of her faith. She wanted to be where Jesus was, and she wanted to touch him, and she was convinced in her heart and soul that connecting with Jesus would heal her from her plague. Isn't it wonderful that she came into this great crowd of people, and the crowd were pushing her this way and that way? Maybe that's the way you feel. You feel that you need to get to Jesus, but there are things that are pushing you away, things that are discouraging you. Maybe other people, what they do, what they say, are sort of directing you away from him, or drawing you, or pushing you away from him. This woman was in the midst of this, almost like a football crowd of spectators moving one way and another way. But she had a purpose, and her purpose was to connect with Jesus. The essence of saving faith is that we are convinced and certain that Jesus Christ alone is able to save us, and that he has power to save us to the uttermost. And that's why she kept saying, "If I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made well." In the original, you find that it's in the present tense, and it's a continuous word that was on her mind. "If I touch but his garment, I shall be well." When you look at the confession of faith, you will find that it describes what faith is. It's a receiving and resting upon Jesus Christ alone, as he's freely offered in the gospel. Receiving him. There's a verse there in John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. "As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Have you opened your arms of faith under the preaching of the gospel and in the reading of God's word to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's what this woman did. She made the effort, and she said, "If I touch his garment, I shall be well." And she was convinced of that. There's also not only receiving him, but resting upon him. Resting upon Jesus Christ. Leaning upon him alone. She's a long way now from the surgeries that she was visiting, the surgeries of good works and the surgeries of self-improvement. She's come a long way from there. And she says, "This is the one I need to see. And I need to make contact with him. I need to rest upon him." In Psalm 37 it says, "Delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust, it bring to pass, shall he." Delight yourself in God. There may have been hundreds, maybe thousands, in that large gathering around Jesus that day. There were the disciples chosen by Christ to be his ambassadors to preach the gospel. There were others But there was only one who drew her heart. That was Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came into the world to seek and to save people like me, people like her, people like you. Another thing that it says in relation to saving faith is called submitting to his righteousness. Not trying to work out a righteous life by yourselves. The self-righteous people do that. The Pharisees were famous for that. But we need to submit to his righteousness. It says in Romans 10, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And then it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, the whole of the scripture is herding us and ushering us into this focus, looking unto Jesus. If you're seeking to be righteous, there's only one righteousness that'll fit you at the end, and that is the righteousness of Christ. He is the one who laid down his life as a ransom for many, and he rose out of the grave that we might be justified. And one more thing here, and that is, we have to hold on to his covenant. I mean, one of the authors says that the covenant of grace is like a rope thrown to a drowning man. A man who is drowning in the midst of the ocean. And a lifeboat comes along, and that man is thrown a rope. And that's the way the covenant of grace is. There is only one hope for us, and that is in the covenant of grace. And Jesus Christ is the covenant head, and we are exhorted to come and hold fast to him. Just as it says in Isaiah 56, that the eunuchs were doing in the days of Isaiah. The eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases you and hold fast to my covenant. They hold fast. This is what this woman really essentially is doing. She is not only touching him with her hand, but she is holding fast to him as her only hope for healing and her only hope for salvation. Her faith. And then it goes on. She touched him. Immediately, it says in verse 29, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. It was an instantaneous experience she had. When she touched him, power flowed from him into her, and that power was the power of salvation, the power of healing from all her diseases physically. And that's a picture of what happens spiritually also. When we believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, our iniquity is cleansed, as we see in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. And Isaiah said, I am an unclean man. I have unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But then one of the seraphim took a live coal from off the altar and touched his lips and said, your iniquity is cleansed. Your sin is taken away. What's the significance? What's the picture there? Well, that the live coal was taken off the altar of burnt offering, where the offering of the sacrifice had been yielded. And the efficacy and the power of that sacrifice was transferred or transmitted to the prophet with his need of being cleansed. And that's what happens by the hand of the Holy Spirit in the experience of everyone who believes in Jesus. The Holy Spirit applies to them the redemption purchased by Christ. Maybe you don't know instantaneously this new life coming into your experience, this new liberty. But as time goes on, the Spirit reveals to you that you are on a different course in your life, that the Lord has made all things new for you, and you have new appetite for the Word of God, a new appetite for the fellowship of God's people, a new appetite for the things of God, for the worship of God, for the house of God, for the prayer meeting. You love the Lord's people more than you ever did before. Jesus knew what had happened to her, and he wanted her to make it known to the people round about. Maybe you've had a conversion experience, a true conversion experience, and the Lord is asking you to make that known. It says here, Jesus, verse 30, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched my garments?'" But he knew who had touched him, and he looked around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He knew what had happened to her. He knew where she was. He knew her need, long before she was really aware of the extent of her need. And he came into this world to deal with her, and to deal with all his elect people, and to their eternal good and welfare. She told him, it says, the whole truth. I wonder how far back she went when she was telling him the whole truth. She would have gone back 12 years from the time she was made aware of this problem she had with the issue of blood. She told him the doctor she had gone to, and the vain attempts she had made to have liberty and freedom from this particular problem, and she couldn't get freedom from it. But then she would say, "Then I heard, Lord, of you, and my heart warmed to you. And I came to where you are. You are here as the Savior of sinners. And I came to you. And I knew in my heart that if I made contact with you, I would be healed." And so it was. I made contact with you. And she came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, told him the whole truth. The fear and trembling is not a slavish fear, but a fear of submission to our new master, to our Lord. Isn't this part of what the scripture says to us in the book of Ecclesiastes? When the man of God, throughout that whole book, tries everything, and everything seems to evaporate, as it were, in uselessness. the riches of this world, the fame and the power. And then he comes to chapter 12 and he says, let us hear the sum of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, the whole of man. You see in some of the translations, the whole duty is in italics. It's not in the original. It says, this is the whole of man. In other words, there is no wholeness, really, in the life of the individual apart from coming, bowing before him, who is our Lord and our Savior and our Master. And this is the picture we have of her. She came in fear and trembling and told him the whole truth. And listen to then what he says to her. What encouragement. She came in trembling, but she was given such encouragement. The first word, daughter. Daughter. I think that word is really significant in that now she is a daughter of the King of Kings. She is one who is adopted into the family of God, and God is her father, and she is a daughter of his by adoption. She is brought into the family of God. The daughter of the King, all glorious, is with him, with embroideries of gold, her garments wrought have been. This is the picture that the psalmist had in Psalm 45. Are you yet in the family of God by adoption? Well, he adopts those who come to him in faith. And the Lord assures her, your faith has made you well. That has to be explained. It wasn't faith that saved her. It was Christ who saved her. Christ who healed her. But she had to exercise this trust in him in order to have the blessing of Christ come into her life. Faith is the channel through which the blessing comes. Your faith has made you well. And then it goes in. Go in peace. It's as if she has had a turbulent experience in life, life's path up until now. Problems after problems, uncleanness in every way. But now the Lord has opened a new way to her, a new and living way. And he says, it's a way of peace. When the Lord is with us, we are at peace with him, and we know his peace from time to time, even in situations that are so difficult. I often think of David in Psalm 31, when he gives an account in that psalm of the many difficulties around him, and he says, Lord, my times are in your hand. Isn't that an amazing statement? That the hand of Christ is surrounding him. Although the enemies might be there, problems might be in view, this is where he rests. My times are in your hand. And this is what the Lord said to her. Go in peace. This is what he said to the disciples of old, didn't he? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The world will try and foist its own peace upon us. Do this, go there, be that way. But there is no real, real lasting peace apart from being in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Go in peace. And then he says, be healed of your disease. This was the great physician. In his surgery of grace, and the patient has come and she has had contact with the doctor, the great physician. And he, having given her his blessing and his peace, now assures her healing from her disease. Oh, I know that the people of God still battle against sin. When you read about the Apostle Paul's experience, and he says so graphically, the good things that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil things that I don't want to do, these are often the things that I do. And he says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But the thing is that the Holy Spirit has come into the experience of the people of God. And he has come to reside there. And he will work sanctification in their experience. He will give them to grow in grace and in holiness every day of their life. Where he begins that good work, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I wonder if this woman who suffered for 12 years would some days wonder, is the cure complete after all? I'm feeling this kind of pain. I'm feeling that kind of anxiety. Well, the devil will try and bring all these kinds of thoughts into your experience, even as a Christian. Are you sure that Jesus is able to save you from all of your sins? Remember that sin you committed 20 years ago. Remember that situation where you were so horrible to that individual. Well, when the Lord forgives our sin, he forgives them completely. That's the kind of Savior he is. He doesn't do a half a work. And the guarantee that he will finish the work is that he has given us of his Spirit. And the Spirit will prevail upon us, sanctifying us day by day, until at last, as the marvelous catechism says, the souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, rest in their graves until the resurrection. And then it follows, at the resurrection, believers shall be raised in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted at the day of judgment, and shall be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God throughout all eternity. What an amazing journey this woman is on. She had come laden with burdens and impurities and sins, but she met the Savior. And in one marvelous transaction of grace and faith, her problem was solved, and she's now going in peace on a new route that will culminate in glory at last. You have heard of Jesus often, just like this woman is said to have heard reports about Jesus. You have heard of people in this community who may no longer be here, but you heard said of them that they were Christian people, men and women. Their lifestyle before conversion, well, it needed to be changed, but they met with Jesus. And they shone as shining lights ever since that day. You've heard of Jesus often in the preaching of the word. And he is a Jesus that is commended to you. And he is a Lord who commends himself to you. The Old Testament says, look unto him who is able to save you from all of your sins. And Jesus himself in the New Testament says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, how this woman could slot into that text, couldn't she? She was laboring and heavy laden, day by day. Maybe you have other sins, other problems. But if you bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able to do in you and for you, exceeding abundantly above what you're able to ask or even think. May God bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. Help us, Lord, this morning to come and to have that contact with you that will be saving in its very nature, that we would receive you as our Lord and Saviour and rest upon you alone as you're freely offered to us in the gospel. And as was spoken of already, that we may lay hold of that marvellous rescue rope of the covenant of grace that is made known to us in the gospel. And give us, Lord, the grace and faith to enable us to draw near you on your own terms to do what pleases you. Bless the congregation here, we pray. Go before us, and we ask that you would go before us this evening if we are spared to see it, and that you would bless the other services in the community also, and may the power of the Holy Spirit come upon all of our people, and times of revival be real among us as a community. Forgive our many sins, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We'll sing in conclusion to God's praise from the Scottish Psalter and Psalm 113. Psalm 113 and verses 1 to 9, the whole of the psalm. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. O praise the Lord's name, praise. Yea, blessed be the name of God from this time forth always. From rising sun to where it sets, God's name is to be praised. Above all nations, God is high. Above heavens, his glory raised. To the end of the psalm, to God's praise, praise God, ye servants of the Lord.
Praise God, ye servants of the Lord.
With those that are
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.